Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So we played the full question and answer from the president's news conference on Henry Louis Gates. And here's another one. The president was asked by Julie Parsons of Fox News whether he is keeping his promise to be history's most transparent president. Listen.
And you promised that health care negotiations would take place on C-SPAN, and that hasn't happened. And your administration recently turned down a request from a watchdog group seeking a list of healthcare executives who have visited the White House to talk about healthcare reform. Also, the TARP Inspector General recently said that your White House is withholding too much information on the bank bailouts. So my question for you is, are you fulfilling your promise of transparency in the White House?
Well, on the list of healthcare executives who've visited us, most of the time you guys have been in there taking pictures, so it hasn't been a secret. And my understanding is we just sent a letter out providing a full list of all the executives, but frankly these have mostly been at least photo sprays where you could see who was participating. With respect to all the negotiations not being on C-SPAN, you will recall in this very room that our kickoff event was here on C-SPAN. And at a certain point, you know, you start getting into all kinds of different meetings. Senate Finance is having a meeting. The House is having a meeting. If they want those to be on C-SPAN, then I would welcome it. I don't think there are a lot of secrets going on in there. And the last question with respect to TARP. Let me take a look at what exactly they say we have not provided. I think that we've provided much greater transparency than existed prior to our administration coming in.
President Obama from his news conference last night. And with us now is John Palfrey, co-director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School. His interests include the intersection of technology and democracy and generational differences in technology use. He is co-author of the book Born Digital, Understanding the First Generation of Digital Natives. And he was on our Aspen Ideas Festival panel on generational differences in technology use, as some of you may remember from earlier this month. In fact, we really invited him on to dig a little deeper on some of the issues that came up then. But now we have this question from the news conference, so we'll talk about that too. Professor Palfrey, thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me back, Brian.
And, of course, the Obama campaign was famous for its open source inclusivity. Have you been watching the Obama administration through this lens?
I have been, and it's an interesting topic because during the campaign, the Obama administration clearly, or the Obama campaign at that time, clearly set new standards for transparency. And they also knew at the time that the bigger challenge was not just going to be how to run a campaign openly, but how to govern openly. And they're living through that challenge right now.
And are they living up to that challenge right now? You heard the challenge to that from the Fox News reporter.
So my view is that they are more than living up to the challenge. They have some of really the leading lights in this field working within the White House on the open government initiatives. And Vivek Kundra, who's the new CIO, several of the deputy CTOs, a New Yorker, Beth Novak, who's a remarkable law professor from New York Law School, these really are the people who have been studying this and are now putting it into place. And I think that there is no doubt but that this is history's most transparent White House and most transparent administration. The hard part, though, is that there always are going to be the questions like the ones that we heard from the reporter last night. There always are going to be things throughout the administration where the information isn't going to be released for one reason or another. And the challenge of running a process like this from a White House to an entire federal government that isn't used to operating this way is colossal. So even if they, in fact, manage to be the most transparent administration in history, they're still not going to be necessarily all that transparent.
By the way, a correction, I guess, on the identity of the reporter. I had said she was from Fox News Channel, but that's what I had been told. But somebody now is telling me that she's actually with the Chicago Tribune.
Chicago.
Do you know?
I believe Chicago Tribune is right.
Okay, so Chicago Tribune. So that takes a certain layer of adversarial stance out of it. But, certainly the Chicago Tribune would ask that professional question as well. What about some of the particular things that she brought up? She said that the president promised that health care negotiations would take place on C-SPAN, and that hasn't happened. Is that an important measure, as far as you're concerned, of transparency?
I think one of the things that the campaign promised was to have a lot of deliberation in public. And I think the reality is that some deliberation can happen in public when you're the White House, but not all of it. In fact, we all recognize the need to have open and closed spaces, even in an internet era. So, yes, I think it's quite important that the key aspects of what's going on in the healthcare negotiation are played out in public, but I actually want them to have some closed doors. So with respect to that particular point, they should put as much as they can stand on C-SPAN, but I think there are moments when the president does need to be talking to people behind closed doors that, in fact, isn't played out exclusively on C-SPAN. So my guess is it was a rhetorical statement, and when you point to the fact that some of it doesn't play out that way, it may, in fact, still be good for democracy.
And the TARP issue, I don't know if this is in your bailiwick, really, because I don't know if this involves technological openness of government, but that the TARP Inspector General recently said that the White House is withholding too much information on the bank bailout. Is that an issue you've looked at?
It's an issue I think that everybody's looking at because we all want to know, right, how much information various people knew at various different times with respect to the bailout. And I would hope that they would be as responsive as they possibly can. I think, like the president, not everybody knows what letter the reporter was referring to. But I would think that when the issues are of such public importance, and TARP clearly among them, and where you do have outside watchdogs like Professor Elizabeth Warren from here at Harvard Law School running these processes, you do need to be responsive. So I take the president at his word that he's going to go back and figure it out. And I think because of the importance of the topic, it's crucial that the information is shared.
All right. Let's change gears. And my guest is John Palfrey, co-director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School, author of Born Digital, Understanding the First Generation of Digital Natives. And one of the ideas that came up on your Aspen panel with Howard Gardner, this was not the one that I moderated, was that digital natives, people born after 1980, like to search, but there is little evidence that they're good at it. How much is that your position, that people growing up with the internet are actually not that good at searching?
This is my view, absolutely, in the sense that I think young people perceive that they're better at searching for information than older people, and yet in many cases they do it in a less facile way or a less effective way than grown-ups. One of the things we see at Harvard is that often students believe that they're going to be better at doing research than they really are, and in fact the faculty members who worry about doing research in this new mode are better than they think they are. And so I think we need to figure out how the research methods that have served us well through history, which often involve books and indexes and things like that, can in fact help when somebody is trying to navigate a very complex information space and where, frankly, just going to a search box and typing Brian Lehrer show isn't necessarily the best way to find information about what you're talking about.
What makes someone good at searching? How do you measure that?
So I think searching, in fact, is, if you blow it up one level, really about learning, right? And the idea is, can you learn about a topic in a way that will enhance your understanding deeply rather than just simply getting facts? And so if it's simply about recovering information, it may well be that digital natives are very good at recovering some information very quickly. I think what we need to do is think about how is it that somebody in this digital environment can, in fact, go about learning more about a topic and then analyzing the information and then restating it in some way that demonstrates that learning. So rather than just simply thinking of it as retrieval, I think it needs to be more about comprehension and about analysis.
Have you thought much about the idea of search in our social, in our intellectual lives? I mean, the most successful new media company today, Google, built its empire around searches. Even before Google, the search engine became an early key to navigating the web. Does it have any precedent in pop culture or intellectual life that you can think of?
I'm not sure there's an obvious precedent or even any good analogy, but I think we have to recognize that what's going on is that there is so much more information available to every human being than ever before in human history, and they're coming from so many different sources. And what the search function that Google provides is really something that says, we can help you sort through these many different sources of potential information on this. The way the PageRank algorithm works is roughly that it measures the linkages between pages that are highly authoritative with other pages. And so it's got sort of a recursive quality to it. But it's basically saying, who do we trust? Who is linking to somebody else? And to lead you to trustworthy information. So all of these themes of accountability and credibility and trust all swirl together in search. And in theory, what we're doing is saying, how do we make sense out of a world that's vastly more complex than it ever was before? And yes, it plays a similar role to what an encyclopedia might have played in the past or some other place that gives you a starting point for information. But in this much more dynamic environment, that's where Google and its sort of complex algorithm has created such a big business.
And that relates to another concept that came up at your panel with Howard Gardner, the question of whether digital natives are growing up in an environment that encouraged more creativity or less creativity. And there was some concern expressed about everything already being so framed for people on the web rather than it being more of an open palette. Is that something you're concerned about?
I'm definitely worried about that in the sense that one of the great promises of digital technologies, especially in the learning environment, is that we can enable young people to be more creative in the learning process than they ever have been before. There's some amazing capstone projects out there in schools where young people are creating very interesting things out of digital materials as a way to demonstrate all that they've learned. Think about your earlier question about how do you measure the ability to search. I actually think it's about the measuring the ability to learn something and then to demonstrate that by recreating something, and of course those are possibilities. But I don't see us actually doing that in the educational system, not in K-12, not in college, not in law schools like the Harvard Law School. So I think it's a big concern that we have this possibility, but in fact we're not taking advantage of it.
So to bring this full circle, what tips, if tips is the right word, would you give to digital natives, and that's, you know, just basically a lot of people under 30, who may have loved seeing all the Obama 08 presence on the web and the transparency that came around contributing to the campaign, but now maybe don't really know where to look for the transparency that could give them easily digestible information about these policies?
Well, I think that the notion of going to a single website as a starting point, much as young people do today to go to Wikipedia as a starting point before they do a high school research project, is a useful one. So the WhiteHouse.gov site, which the Obama administration has put up, actually is a wonderful starting point, and they have an open government initiative and ways to get into lots of policy topics and to give feedback to the administration. I think this is a very good start. So that's certainly one way to go. The other thing I would say, though, is that for those who wish to participate much more in government life and to use the tools that are out there on the web, the Sunlight Foundation is a great service that is pointing lots of people to lots of information about what's going on in Congress. They've got tons of data. The idea is basically to unearth lots of things that we can point people to and let anyone be an investigative reporter effectively on what's going on in Congress. So if you want to understand how your congresswoman is in fact voting on healthcare issues and who's given that person money, follow that trail and then get engaged in the political life. So for those who are wondering, is the Obama administration in fact governing as openly as they campaign? Part of the answer is go do it yourself. Find out, dig in, and see if they're responsive. And my sense is they will be, at least on key issues.
I'm glad you mentioned Wikipedia because you made our segue for us. Our next guest is Jimmy Wales, the founder of Wikipedia.
He's amazing. Say hello for me.
He is amazing, and he's leading a big Wikimedia conference in New York this weekend, which we'll talk to him about. John Palfrey, executive director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at the Harvard Law School, author of Born Digital, Understanding the First Generation of Digital Natives. Nice to talk to you again.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Jimmy Wales next.